Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cowboy Seeks a Healer by Marley Michaels, narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley and Mason Lloyd. 1. Josie. You'd think after growing up on the traveling rodeo circuit, it'd be hard for anything to surprise me. By my 18th birthday, I'd swear I'd quite literally seen it all. But now that I'm 30, with a little more life experience under my belt, I've learned that surprises, though few and far between for a travel-worn girl like me, still exist. Having pulled into the Kinleyville Fairgrounds late last night, the entire crew was so tired we barely had enough energy to park up and collapse into our beds. But as I step out of my trailer with a thermos full of strong black coffee and a good night's sleep behind me, I'm struck by the sheer beauty of the majestic mountain range dwarfing the town before us. And when I inhale the fresh, clean air, something about this new town fills me with a sense of excitement, like I'm about to make a new discovery. I haven't experienced that kind of anticipation in a long, long time. This place almost feels magic.
Morning, Josie!
One of the hands hollers as he wanders past with a handful of leads and four big horses loping along behind him, getting their exercise after being cooped up while we traveled from Juneau to here. Already, the fairgrounds are being transformed from empty fields to a functioning rodeo event. Tents have been erected, corrals have been fixed in place, and grandstands are in the process of being set up for the main event this weekend. Together, this company works like a well-oiled machine, becoming faster and more efficient as the season nears its close. My father demands it. Hey, Gus. How are the animals treating you today?
Same as always. Like their food and shit, slave.
He chuckles and saunters off toward the makeshift corral, while I smile and take a mouthful of coffee, starting toward the breakfast tent so I can nab a breakfast burrito and get started on the many duties of my own. My family runs the biggest rodeo circuit on this side of the country. Until recently, we only serviced eastern Canada and the Pacific Northwest, but my father recently took over this circuit, merging it with ours when his old bull-riding friend, Rip, decided to hang up his saddle after 40 years and put himself out to pasture in South Dakota. That will never be my father, though. Both Mom and Dad are determined to live out their days on the circuit. To them, the rodeo is home. And for me, since this is the only life I've ever known, on top of also being the on-tour physical therapist, wherever they go, I go. I guess you could say this transient life is in our blood, and I can't really imagine doing anything else. It's not a terrible life either, traveling from small town to small town, meeting new people, seeing the delight on the crowd's faces whenever we crown a local favorite cowboy as champion. I love watching kids stuffing their faces with hot dogs, candy floss, and funnel cakes, and I also love the close-knit community we've grown over the past 3 decades. From my parents, my uncle and aunt, my best friend and cousin, Sarah, and then all the stock contractors, ranch hands, vets, on-tour cowboys, food vendors, ticketing staff, and even the rodeo clowns. We're all family. And we all wear many hats. My role is to play medic, physio, masseuse, counselor, mediator, cowboy wrangler, basically a Jack, or Josie, of all trades. That's me. I suppose if I needed one regret in my life, it's that we've been on the road so long, I'm starting to wonder what I'm missing out on by not staying in one place long enough to put down any roots. We're set up for only a few weeks before we're packing up and moving on to the next location. The longest I've spent anywhere was the 1 year of in-person training I did for my final year of college after studying online before that. And since then, it's been right back on the road, touring town after town, while keeping the muscles and joints of every laborer on the circuit in tip-top condition. I honestly thought I was okay with that. But standing here in God's country, the fresh mountain air filling my lungs, the morning sun sitting high in the sky, something feels different in me. I'm not sure if it's the town, the day, or the fact that today's my 30th birthday, but something is happening deep inside of me, a flutter of some sort, like I'm longing for something, and that something just might be found right here on Eagle Mountain. Smiling at myself, I shake the fanciful thoughts off just as Mom and Dad's terrible but adorable singing voices fill the air as they make the entire rodeo, and probably the town, aware that it's my birthday today. I'm smiling from ear to ear by the time they stop in front of me, a last-minute truck stop cake with a big 3-0 candle stuck in the middle of it. It may not be the prettiest birthday cake, but it's absolutely perfect for me. "Happy birthday, baby," Mom says, handing the cake off to Dad before wrapping me up in a huge hug and kissing my cheek. "You don't look a day over 29, I swear." I giggle as we pull apart, my eyes drifting over to my father, whose gentle gaze roams my face. He holds one arm out, and I step into him, hugging him carefully so I don't knock the cake out of his hand. "Thanks, Dad. Does this mean I get the day off?" He snorts and shakes his head as we part. "Do we ever get a day off?" Mom laughs and nudges him with her shoulder. "I think we can make an exception for our only daughter's 30th birthday, can't we?" Dad makes a show of rubbing his chin as if he's thinking hard about it.
"How about this? All you've got to do today is register the locals for their chosen events. Then you and Sarah can go do whatever you please."
"Really?" I ask. The first day at a new rodeo is busy as all get out, so I know this means there'll be two sets of hands short. "You don't have to."
"Yeah, darling, I do. You've given us so many of your birthdays over the years. This time I want to give one back to you. Go to a local bar, live it up with your cousin, and kick up your boots for a night. Maybe even go find some trouble."
He winks at me, and Mom shakes her head with an amused tut. "You're the best, Dad."
"Hey," Mom gasps. "What about me?"
"You too." I reach out and swipe a little icing off the side of the cake and suck it off my finger.
Best be getting to work then," I say, backing away. "I hope you're not eating icing and calling it breakfast, young lady,"
Mom says with her hands on her hips. I laugh and roll my eyes.
"I'm 30 now, Mom. I think the young part of my life is behind me. But it's my birthday, and I'm gonna eat cake for breakfast if that's what I wanna do."
Dad tilts his head, conceding my point, before he hands the cake over to me, and I take a bite right out of the side of it. Mom gasps.
"Go enjoy your day, baby girl,"
Dad says, laughing as he hugs my breakfast is the most important meal of the day mother into his side.
"Thanks, guys. Love you,"
I call out, unable to wipe the huge smile from my face as I take another bite of sugary sweet cake. I might be bouncing off the walls later with this much sugar and caffeine in my system, but since I get a whole night off to let loose with my best friend, then I'll need it. Mid-afternoon, Sarah and I are sitting side by side behind the sign-up table, thankfully protected from the heat of the belting sun by the tent overhead. Although that doesn't save us from the cocky, self-important cowboys who seem to have made it their mission to chat up the two new fillies behind the desk. We may be new to them, but this ain't our first, well, rodeo. So with each pickup line, cheesy come on, and attempt at a panty-melting smile we get, the more irritated and fed up I get.
"Oh, Lord, don't look now,"
Sarah mutters in my ear.
"But it looks like we've got another cocky cowboy headed our way, and something tells me this one is gonna be a doozy."
"What makes you say that? Isn't it just another local with extra swagger in his step and an ego bigger than what's contained below his belt buckle?"
"I don't know. I guess it's 'cause this guy has you written all over him. She waggles her brows, her lips tipping up into a sly smirk as she tries to surreptitiously crane her neck to check the man out. Sure he doesn't have you written all over him? I retort. You look like you might need a fan there, Sarah. Sarah giggles. How about you just see for yourself? Then we'll decide who needs the fan. Decidedly curious, I crane my neck to see who she's talking about, and my mouth goes dry a little at the sight of not one, but two Stetson-wearing cowboys entering the tent. They're both atypical ranchers, tall drinks of water who slide with definite swagger. With strong square jaws, wide shoulders, muscly arms covered in tattoos with their plaid shirts rolled up to their elbows, black leather belts looped into the waistband of Levi Wranglers molded to their thick thighs, and of course, customary cowboy boots adorning their big feet. Whoa. While they're both equally handsome, my eyes are drawn to the one who moves right in front of me, his warm chocolate brown eyes boring into mine as he stops at the front of the line. Please don't open with a dumb pickup line. Please don't open with a dumb pickup line.
Ladies,
he croons with a dazzling smile he no doubt pulls out whenever a woman with a pulse is nearby.
You're both looking about as hot as the weather today.
Immediately, I realize that my hope this cowboy would be different was foolish. He's just another cocky bull rider. Every small town like this will have its Randy Ranchers, and it looks like Kinleyville is no different. Y'all here to sign up to be rodeo clowns? I ask, ignoring Sarah's gasp beside me as I quirk a brow at the man full of bravado standing in front of me. I don't even know why I decided to poke the bear, so to speak. But after being hit on by far too many cowboys today, I've hit my limit. The cowboy's friend snorts and shakes his head, his amused gaze going to his friend as he claps his hand on his shoulder.
And here I was thinking you were here to ride bulls, Sawyer.
Sawyer's eyes widen, as does his grin.
As much as I know, I could entertain the hell out of you, doll. I'm a bull rider.
A baby bull rider? Aw, how cute. He throws his head back and laughs, enthralling me with the sight of his perfectly shaped lips and strong Adam's apple bobbing up and down. Shit, do not let this cowboy mesmerize you, Josie.
Oh, no, doll. I can promise you, I can ride anything and everything, even better than the rest of them.
Big words. Got some action to back that up?
Ask around town, doll. You'll hear all about me.
Oh, great. He's got an ego, too. Next. I lean around him and gesture for the next in line. Sawyer shifts his bulky frame to keep his place.
It's not ego when I know I can follow through.
Damn, this cowboy is good.
So what do y'all need me to sign? Seems I have some action I need to show you.
I study the man, wondering why my palms are suddenly sweaty and my stomach is feeling all fluttery. I open my mouth, but no words come out, my sass suddenly failing me for the first time in my life. I've grown up around cowboys. There's no reason why this one is making me feel this way. Sarah's elbow nudging my ribs snaps me out of my stunned silence as she thankfully steps in for me. We just need some ID and then your experience level so that we make sure you're ranked appropriately for the bull draft. Sawyer hands over some ID, and as he fills out his form in block letter writing, I see he's from Eagle Mountain Ranch. Everyone who's anyone around the state knows of the ranch and the high-quality cattle that comes out of there. So maybe I'm a little curious now.
Rumor has it you've brought a bill by the name of Big Bruiser to town with y'all,
he says when he scans his eyes over the list of bulls included in the bull draft.
I'll take him if I get a choice.
Sarah gasps, and my head jerks back in surprise. You want to ride Bruiser? Willingly? She asks. This cowboy has bigger balls than Big Bruiser himself.
Sawyer puffs out his chest and tips his hat with his thumb.
Yes, ma'am.
He turns his eyes to me.
Gotta ride the best to be the best.
And somehow, I know we're not talking about bulls now. His friend groans beside him.
Shit, Sawyer. Laying it on a bit thick today, aren't you? You'll have to excuse my brother here. It appears he has a death wish today. I'm Beau, by the way.
Sawyer just grins and bounces a shoulder.
Hey, I'm talking about bull riding. Not sure what you thought I meant, you filthy-minded bastard.
I roll my eyes so hard, I'm lucky I don't strain a muscle.
Okay, then.
We'll sign you up with Big Bruiser. Just a warning, though, he's ornery at the best of times. He's definitely not easy to tame, even if you are as good as you think you are, I say, pulling out the injury waiver forms and sliding the paperwork across the table toward him. You'll also need to sign these.
No problem.
He signs the paper with a flourish, then hands everything back to me.
Nothing easy is worth having if you don't have to work for it.
His fingers graze mine as I take the pen from his hand, and I have to bite back a gasp at the electric spark that races across my skin at his touch. I jerk my hand back, my gaze jumping up to his equally wide-eyed one. All of a sudden, that cocky air about him is gone, and he's tilting his head as if to study me closer. I fight not to squirm under his attention. Hey, Sarah interrupts. Since y'all are locals, what's the best bar around here?
The Lion's Lair on the edge of town, Beau says. Best food, best music, and best place to kick your boots up.
She claps. Perfect. See, it's Josie's birthday today, so we're looking for somewhere to dance and drink and let loose for a night. Sawyer's mouth curves into a slow smile.
Happy birthday,
he rumbles, pinning me in place with a stare so pointed it makes my heart skip a beat and my cheeks blush. What the hell? Why is this cowboy getting me? Thank you, I whisper, my mouth struggling to form words amongst my confusing reaction to the man.
Well now, I might see you tonight then, Sawyer says. Beau here has a family to look after, but I'm sure I can wrangle some other willing ranchers to come along with me to celebrate with you.
Beau groans, and what seems like an exasperated sigh escapes him.
Come on, brother. Let's leave the ladies be and go see what trouble you've just gotten yourself into with this damn bull.
Sawyer grins and tips his hat.
See you later, ladies. It's been a pleasure.
All yours, I bet, I mutter.
Undoubtedly, he says,
leaning his hands onto the table and bringing himself closer to me as he lowers his voice.
And if I play my cards right, it'll be yours later, too.
He straightens and knocks his knuckles on the table.
Until then, Josephine, y'all have a nice day.
And before I can gather my wits about me and tell him that no one calls me by my full name, Sawyer and his brother are walking out of the tent, and I'm left sitting with my mouth wide open, trying to wrap my mind around what the hell just happened and why we've somehow gone from a girl's night out to now meeting up with some local cowboys. I groan and shake my head before remembering that my best friend damn near encouraged that little tete-a-tete with Sawyer Barnes.
Why'd you do that? I gasp, my face flaming hot.
She at least tries to look innocent.
Do what? Talk to locals and find out where to go tonight?
I narrow my eyes. You know exactly what you did. You encouraged him. You know I don't date cowboys, especially ones at the rodeo. She holds her hands up.
Hey, you need to start living a little. And if that means you let loose in small town Alaska, then so be it.
He's a cocky cowboy with more notches on his belt than all the rodeo combined. I don't miss the wicked glint in her eye as she laughs, her mood contagious as a smile tugs at my lips.
Well, if it's a taste of the local talent in these parts, at least you'll have a chance at starting your 30s off with a bang, cousin.
Now let's get finished up here so we can go get dolled up
and get this party started. Fine, I mutter, calling up the next in line. Oh, and Josie? Sarah says once I've handed the paperwork across the table. I thought you might need this. With a shit-eating grin on her face, she hands me a sheet of paper folded into a paper fan. And of course, I fan myself with it. Sawyer Barnes is as hot as he thinks he is, after all. But that's all the more reason to stay far, far away from him.
2. Sawyer. Do we really need to be here? Randy grumbles as my brothers and I walk across the parking lot toward the Lion's Lair Bar and Tavern, which is the only place anyone in Kinleyville ever wants to be seen. Even though they could have stayed home, every man who works on Eagle Mountain Ranch chose to tag along with me tonight. This place here is the heart of the entire community and my stomping ground for the last 20-odd years. And tonight, it's extra special. Where the hell else would you be on a night like this, yo grump? I say, slapping my big brother on the chest as we step through doors, the noise crashing into us like a wall. I stop and take in a deep breath, the energy in the air contagious, signaling only one thing. It's rodeo time. Rodeo time. The best time of the year, in my opinion, and a chance for cowboys, young and old, to forget the troubles of their day-to-day life and show off their hard-earned skills in front of a crowd of screaming fans. Being part of the rodeo makes all the early mornings, late nights, and backbreaking labor on the land worth it. Because being part of the rodeo means women. Lots and lots of women. Hey, don't look now, but I can see the girl you struck out with at 10 o'clock. Beau grips the scruff of my neck and gives me a rough nudge in the direction of the brunette I had my eye on at the sign-up tent earlier. Her dark curly hair is secured in a long braid down the center of her back, and she's bouncing those nice wide hips of hers in time to the music, along with other just as noteworthy parts of her as well, talking animatedly with her red-headed friend while they study the jukebox. Like most of the rodeo's buckle bunnies, she's wearing a pair of tight, cut-off jeans that graze the top of her thighs in a way designed to make every red-blooded male want a closer look, along with a pair of fancy cowgirl boots that don't look like they've ever seen a stirrup, let alone a speck of mud, a fitted white tank, and a shirt tied at her waist with the sleeves rolled up. Her friend is wearing the same, but where Josephine's shirt has a red print, the friend's is blue. I did not strike out with her, I insist, not missing the matching smirks on my brother's faces. All of them, besides Randy, are either married or engaged these days, and they all take great delight in telling me I'm next to get knocked over the head by this mountain call hocus-pocus they all seem to have fallen prey to. But the difference between Beau, Jesse, Miller, he's more of an adopted brother than a blood one, and me, is that they all wanted to settle down. Me? I'm more than happy to continue living and enjoying the bachelor life for the rest of my days. Why, right now, I'm 42 and showing no signs of slowing down. I'm fighting fit and in my physical prime. So the way I see it, I'm going to keep on riding this high until I can't ride anymore. And by then, I'll be considered a silver fox, so I still won't be hard up for company whenever the need strikes. I simply laid down a little groundwork. Is that what they're calling a blatant refusal to spend time in your company these days? Beau shoots back, causing Miller to cackle and Randy to just roll his eyes. If only you put as much focus into the ranch as you put into bull riding and women, he spouts, crossing his arms across his grouchy chest. Ah, brother, I say as I sling my arm around his broad shoulders, if I was to put that much focus on the ranch, what would there be left for you to do? Randy rolls his eyes. Besides, you're so good at being the boss of everyone, I wouldn't want to take any of that away from you. Randy barks out a laugh. You are so full of shit, Sawyer, he says, knowing full well how hard I work our land. How about you go put that mouth of yours to good use and get us a round of beers? If I've gotta be here watching your slimy ass find a woman you haven't let down yet, we might be a while. Why, Randy, that kind of talk hurts my feelings. I'll have you know I've never left a woman unsatisfied. I'm a gentleman, after all. Gentleman, my ass, he barks out yet another laugh. Now, about those beers. I'm dehydrating here. Yeah, yeah, I say, nodding for Miller to join me at the bar to be a second pair of hands, while Randy, Jesse, and Bo try to scope out somewhere to sit. So, who's the girl? He asks while we wait in line, not at all hiding the fact he's looking her way. I sneak a look over my shoulder and catch her eye, not missing the way my heart picks up speed when our gaze connects, and she quickly tears hers away, dipping her head to her friend's ear. She doesn't seem too pleased seeing you. She's just some girl working the rodeo, I say, shuffling forward along with the line. She threw a bit of sass my way earlier, but you know what that generally means. That she wants you to leave her the fuck alone? Miller says, his blonde brows lifting high as he smirks. Hardy fucking har. No, my dear, very married friend. It means I just have to work a little harder at convincing her that spending a night or two with yours truly is a good idea. I see. She's got your interest because she represents a challenge. Staying on a bull for 9 seconds is a challenge, Mills. Getting that girl to go on a date with me is purely for entertainment purposes. Hopefully hers and mine. Okay, he drawls, just as we reach the bar and I order a round of drinks. I like to consider myself pretty good at reading people, and right now, that woman is giving you some pretty strong fuck-off vibes. But if you reckon you've got the skills to win her over, I'm willing to put some money on it. You're gonna bet I can't convince that girl to go on a date with me? You that cashed up you're willing to hand your hard-earned coin over to me just like that? Miller laughs and shakes his head. No, brother. I'm gonna bet that she'll make you work so hard for it you ain't never gonna let her go. I bark out a laugh that gives Randy a run for his money as I stick out my hand to shake on it. You're on, I say, glancing over my shoulder with a smile, because I know myself better than anyone. And payday is certainly coming.
3. Josie. Here comes your cowboy, Sarah says, bumping my arm with hers. Told you your 30s would start with a bang. I'm not going off somewhere with a random local just to get laid, Sarah, I groan, barely managing to get that out before the air around us changes. It's the only way to describe it. Like somehow, all the oxygen has been sucked out, and my sole focus shifts to the hulking figure of Sawyer Barnes and his damn infuriating, totally sexy grin as he saunters toward us.
Hey there, Sarah.
He switches his attention from my cousin to me.
Happy birthday, Josephine,
he says, my name rolling smoothly off his tempting tongue as he unashamedly checks me out. I fight not to squirm under his gaze because, yes, he's handsome, and yes, maybe I put a little extra effort into my appearance tonight. Not for him, though. Well, not entirely, anyway. Working in the dirt and dust all day, every day, means sometimes a woman just wants to dress up and look hot for a night. Just because I knew, well, maybe a little part of me hoped, too, that he'd turn up tonight, doesn't mean I want the guy. But standing in front of him now, seeing the clear-as-day appreciation on his face as his eyes lift back to reach mine, that strange, tingling, electric feeling I experienced earlier at the sign-up tent has come back tenfold. I decide to play along, holding my arm out, hand outstretched. Hey, Simon, was it? His head jerks, his eyes widening just a fraction before his grin deepens, and he slides his palm against mine, the tingles turning into a dull, warm current pulsing over my skin and throughout my body.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?